He said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I am persuaded that the answer to what are these, my Lord? Do you not know what these are? I believe that the answer is summarized in verse 6. Everything you are seeing is a word. It is a word of God to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That is the result you are going to get. Now, you have to understand something here. He was giving a word to somebody. That word was supposed to, in effect, give him an instruction in righteous living. That is, there must be a way to affect his response to life. Are you getting my point? I will analyze in a moment. And if you go further down, there was a time Zechariah asked a question. The angel did not answer. He asked again. I don't know whether you follow my point. If you go down, and we'll read in a moment, he asked the question, the angel did not answer. He reminded him, say, you have not yet answered. What am I saying? If the angel did not answer that one, I'm sure he would have reminded him, say, explain. So I believe that this was the answer to that question. So he said to him, everything you are seeing, what he's saying is simple. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The lampstand is saying something. The lights are saying something. The summary of it is that Zerubbabel, your life is going to experience results, not by your struggles. But notice this, light is shining. That's the result. But for the light to shine, let me finish reading, then I will explain. He said, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace to it. Also, notice this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation. Let me just jump down to verse 11. Then I answered, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on his left? See, he's asking about the olive trees. It means that the answers before had answered about the lampstand. Are you getting my point? And I said, what about the olive trees? One on the left and on the right of the lampstand. And I answered the second time when I didn't get an answer. What are these olive trees? He said, what are the two olive branches? And I answered the second time and said to him, what are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes? Notice this. Which empty the golden oil from themselves. Those trees were connected by golden pipes to the lamp. Alright? The lamp was connected. The oil was coming from the trees. So he answered me saying, verse 13, do you not know what these are? And I said, no. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones. If you read literally, he said, these are the two sons of oil who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Let's stop reading there. I've said to us many times, the Christian race, Christian work has its job. Why it is difficult is that we do the job that's meant for God. Do you hear what I said? If it appears difficult, we are doing something we are not supposed to be doing. He said, take my yoke. He said, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, and you will find rest for your souls. If you don't find rest in Christianity, you are doing something that's not your assignment. I said all the time, please hear it. For example, they say, in Nigeria, hey, if you don't know people, you can never win election. You have plenty of story. I said, God has never said win election. The only thing he has ever said is contest a post. That's called sowing and watching. And God does what? Gives the increase. At least now, I'm sure from watching yesterday's election, many of you will be counselors in the next few months. You're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid anymore. You now know that your world is not too big. You can go from home to home, house to house, school to school, office to office, explain that this is me.
In a few days, you'll have covered the whole world. They come back, go by. By the time you come by a few times, you can't wait. Now you are encouraged. I'm bringing something here. If it is difficult, you are not doing the job of God. That's why, this is just by the way, I'm saying this is to encourage those who are in ministry. I have dreams and visions, amen? Amen? I know they are for what? An appointed time. Even though they tarry, I will do what? Wait for them. What does waiting mean? It means that before they arrive, I find out the job for each season and I do it. For all the dreams and visions I have in Kingdom World, for Kingdom World Ministries and the ministry I operate, I'm preaching the Word of God, I have discovered the only assignment God gave me. Listen to me. He didn't give me assignment to raise money. He didn't give me assignment to beg. He gave me one assignment, preach. So, I'm so happy I preach on the average maybe like 3 times a week. And everywhere I go, I carry my recorder. I was one Anglican church last Sunday. The guy said, what is that? I said, don't worry, it's in my pocket. As I finished preaching, it's in our collection. It's already there. I keep preaching. That's my job. I know that job is not hard. People say, you go and network so they can get invitation. I said, he didn't say network. He said what? Preach. So, I remember one October 1st. That was many years ago. That would be close to 10 years now. In my house in Transekulu, we organized Independence Day celebration in my sitting room. Breakfast. Everybody come. And people came and sat down and I preached to them. That was the purpose. That wasn't hard. One of my friends came, said, Banky, this is good. He gave me enough money to almost cover the whole cost. I didn't beg anybody for money. My wife and I said, nobody to make sandwich and tea and snacks and stuff. It was breakfast. Gathered everybody and do what? Preach. If you're a preacher, do what? Preach. Listen. That is your own job. That is your job. I like the Bishop Edipo used to say those days. That he said, God sent me an spirit. He didn't send me a microphone. So, he was having a meeting like this. I'm preaching. When people couldn't hear him well, they contributed money by themselves and bought the microphone. He said, it's you that wants to hear. My job is just to preach. I'm saying something. Christianity is like that. If things are getting too hard, you are doing the one that's not your own. You are doing the one that's not your own. You have taken somebody else's job with your own. Either you have taken your partner's job, that is your brother, your friend, or you have taken God's job and you are saying, I must do it. The Omega Channel is advertising. Come and broadcast in the U.S. To my wife, it's not that I'm telling Americans right now. I'm not saying it's wrong. That is wrong. In fact, I called Pastor Paul immediately. You were there. I said, okay, how are you doing? He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. Nobody said, I won't greet you. They are broadcasting in America. The money, in my mind, is not too much for you. Are you interested? He said, yes. Let me forward the information to you. I forwarded it, and that's the end. I ain't broadcasting to anybody in America. Not because it is bad, but not primarily. Secondly, because as it is right now, we don't have the money. I'm happy with broadcasting in Gabon. I got the mail from Gabon yesterday. Yes. But put myself under distress and start choking. We are owing Omega Channel. We are owing. If I owe one radio station once, next month, please cut us off. We're not doing it again. Why? It's not my job to broadcast. It's my job to do what? Preach. There are Christians that go with flog if I can't broadcast. And I've been warning all of you. Just be praying that God, this money you are giving me, which one belongs to Kingdom World? Let me not go and eat money that's not my own. Yeah, because I'm supposed to do what? Preach. Somebody else will pay the bills. And God is very kind. We have been paying the bills. We have been paying the bills. And I say we, I don't mean I mean all of us, all the people that contribute money to Kingdom, we have been paying the bills. But my job is what? Preach. So, in life, locate your job, not do the job of God. I'm going somewhere. So they said to Zerubbabel, who's Zerubbabel? The governor of Judah, said to be a descendant of David. According to the decrees of the kings, which came because of the commandment of the Lord, they were rebuilding in Jerusalem.
And this came to him. Of course, there was a lot of human opposition. In fact, if you read before that, anyway, we'll go on to that. People were opposing them here and there. And then the word came to Zerubbabel. They saw, now, like I told you, result is of God. The manifestation of Christ's character, all right? Even from you, it's of God. I know what I'm saying. So the light, the lamps shining, was to be the effect of Zerubbabel's presence, the success of their building. And they said to him, how is it going to be? This is what the lamb is saying to you. It is not because you struggle. It is because there are golden pipes connecting you to the olive trees. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It is not light, shine, shine, forget. Make sure your golden pipes are connected to the olive tree. So Zechariah said, so who are these? What are these trees? Say, you don't understand. Say, they are the two anointed ones, the sons of oil, which means the sources of oil for Zerubbabel. Are you getting my point? Where are they? They stand before the Lord, or who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now, when he says stand, now this is my own interpretation. Please listen to this. Now, if you see, God was talking about prophets. That if they had been in council with me, then they would have declared my word. That, are you getting my point? That is, who are prophets? They are those who are in the presence of God. They hear the word of God and they declare it. This is my own interpretation. Those two olive trees. Some people can say other things. They can have applications. So, but the two olive trees represented two people. One, Zechariah. The second one, Haggai. Open your Bible to the book of Ezra, chapter 6. The scriptures can have many applications. But you see what he's saying here. Zerubbabel was not meant to struggle. Zerubbabel was meant to have his golden pipes connected. Ezra chapter 6. Zerubbabel was forbidden from struggling. This is why I said to you, they had struggles and all kinds of things. Let me just read from verse 13. Where I want to read is verse 14, but just to take it in context. Then Tattenai, the governor of the province, was giving them problem beyond the river. And their colleagues carried out the decree with all diligence, because the king had decreed that they should support them and leave them alone. That did not cause them trouble. Just as King Darius had sent. Now, please notice verse 14. And the elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. Let me read to you again. The elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying. Now notice this. Success came from paying attention to the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the other prophet, the son of Iddo. And they finished building according to the commandment of the God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, please, notice that. Success, did it come from hard work? No, answer me. Did it come from hard work? Success, did it come from struggling? It came through what? The prophesying of the two sons of oil. As long as Zerubbabel and co. paid attention to the words of Zechariah and Haggai, the spirit of success was poured into them. Favor followed them. Help came to them. Peace came to them. The decree of the king came and supported them. As long as they paid attention to the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. That's my interpretation. Those are the two sons of oil. Do you get what I'm saying? I said it to you many times. We succeed in life as believers because of what we hear and the attention we pay to them. That's it. You know, if you go to the story of Uzziah, the same thing. 2 Chronicles 26. He said, in the days... what's the name of the prophet now? Anyway, if let's quickly read to it, open to it. I'll read it, then we'll leave the matter. From verse 3, he said, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king and reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was this. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he continued, verse 5, to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Listen to this. I said to you earlier, Christians don't struggle. Zerubbabel was not meant to struggle. He was meant to give respect and attention to the offices of Haggai and Zechariah, who represented the sons of oil, from whom oil was poured into his lamp. And as long as oil fills his lamp, the man was guaranteed to succeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said something to us some time ago. You see, that's why, in fact, the more I preach this, the more I'm persuaded. Your job as a believer is to simply listen to the instruction of the Word of God constantly. Now, when I say listen, I don't mean just to listen as what else are they saying. No. To listen so as to know, because this is what I want to say is very important. God knows you personally. Are you getting my point? And he relates with you personally. We are here. There are a number of us. I am speaking. Do you know? Everybody may be able to recite the things I said, but the truth is that what each person is hearing is unique. Are you getting my point? It is not your ability to understand that just the issue. No, it is that what God wants to tell you is different from what he's telling the other person. So, this is how we listen to the word of God, knowing that there is an instruction that God wants to give me. This point I'm making. If I don't hear it, my flask of oil will become empty. And if it is empty, when my appointed time comes, I will be found unprepared. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, the problem with Christianity, in quote, is that, when I say problem now, the problem is in quote, is that it's so radically different from what everybody else knows and practices that even we Christians are afraid to practice it. Let me explain what I'm saying. Okay, there's famine in the land. Natural thing is everybody moved to Egypt. It's booming in Egypt. They are in Egypt. They are sending money home and buying land. They're in Egypt. Things are moving. Everything is okay. Then after some time, Isaac too fell for the temptation and began to move. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, no, you don't go anywhere. What am I going to do? I am going to dwell in that land as Isaac and sow in that land. It is not a general principle that you will sow in a dry land. I don't know what I'm saying. That is what faith is. For a man, you know, I was downstairs just now, I was thinking about the spirit of faith again and walking by faith. For me to do what I am persuaded about as the word of God has entered into me, even when it doesn't make sense, that's what real faith is. Now listen to me, it usually doesn't make sense to everybody else. And initially to us, because we have not given it enough attention, it looks crazy. So we abandon it. Therefore, we hardly see the glory of God manifested in our lives. That's the summary of it. That's the summary of it. Let me give you an example. Something more practical. You know, I believe that, you heard me say it several times, you don't get degrees because you want to get a better job. You know, you get degrees because you want to learn. It's sweet to see. Easy to hear. Until you sit down in the bank and everybody's getting an MBA and becoming a manager. And listen to me. And deep inside your heart, you don't want an MBA. Every time you hear the word of God and you want to pick a form for MBA, the Spirit of God tells you, no, And somebody's telling you, how will you get promoted? And it looks like you have struggled over this for 18, 24 months. And that's it. After that, the doors will open. But for you, now, you know what I said? For you. But for you, every time the word of God, because the word of God is not just letters. It's not just read the scripture and use the scripture. No. He said you say the scriptures thinking that in them, you thinking erroneously that you find eternal life. He said, what the scriptures actually do is to testify of me. You bring the testimony to God in prayer. Are you getting my point? It's not just about letters. It's living. Until you convert the letters to a living word, it's useless. It's useless. So, that's why once the word is coming forth, it's saying something to you. It is. You are listening to me. It's telling you which decisions not to take. It is. So as that word is coming forth, so for somebody may say, no, don't take that form. Maybe because, the Lord says, you take the form, your faith will be locked into it. And I don't want that, because that will cap the glory of God in your life. But what do I do? Now, each person's case, like I said, is different. As you continue to attend to the word of God, what happens is that eventually, you will find out. Now, there are many ways. I don't want to just give one simple example. One of the things that could happen, all right, is that one day, a better door will open, all right? You will walk away from it, and it opened because you were working hard, talking to people, you are improving yourself on the job. Are you getting my point? Then somebody observes along the line and says, this guy is good. If we can talk him out of this job, we open a different door for him. Now, they don't realize they're opening the door for you. They're just bringing you into business. I don't know what I'm making. Later on, you see, this is where testimonies are the problem. Those who don't know say, hey, believers, you have no business taking an MBA. You see, they've spoiled it again. That's not the issue. It's more of as you were interacting with Zechariah and with Haggai, they poured oil into your lamp. Do you follow the point I'm making? And without struggles, doors began to open. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. As believers, no, it's not about struggle. That's what I'm saying to Christians again. The way these things of God work are so off the way things work normally on the earth that even we believers don't are afraid to walk by it. I told you once, I listened to a man of God. Bless me so much. Then one day he began to correct some things that he preached himself. And I told my wife, that's the mistake. That you see, he preached things that were so deep that when the anointing wore off from his eyes, he heard himself. He said, no, how can these things be? I don't know whether you hear what I said. That's what happens. They said to Mary, you are going to have a child. And the natural thing is, how can these things be? And the angel said, well, as long as the oil I am pouring to you right now is entering into your lamp, then you will discover that one day you are pregnant. I don't know whether you heard me. That is, Mary received the power to conceive. Before Mary could conceive, that anointed one, that angel, had to come and give her the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Believers, what are we supposed to do therefore? We are back to, you know, I said something to us last time, sometime ago. I said that your ears will behold your teachers. Can you remember? I said, when I read that, something keyed with me there. For example, recently I went and acquired a lot of Ken Hagin materials again. There's a reason for it. There is something I want to tap into. I'm not looking for keys. You know, this is the interesting part. I'm not looking for keys. You operate like this. No, I'll just leave the messages to play. And I'll just sit down and listen. That's all. I leave the messages to play. I sit down and listen. There is a spirit that will drop into me as long as I'm listening and I'm paying attention. Do you get my point? Listen, your eye will behold your teacher. There are people you know. They've connected with you. Anytime the word comes forth, it hits your heart. Please listen to them. Listen to what I want to say every day. What did I say? Every day. 15 minutes in the morning. Listen. If that's all for the day. Or at night. 15 minutes. Just play it. We can settle down. If I bless you, I, Pastor Banky, make sure every Saturday you are here. On Tuesday, make sure you're around. Not big. Look. Not for any other reason than the fact that as long as the olive tree is pouring its oil into your lamp, you can never fail in life. It is not about struggling to see which skid do we take, which step. No. It is that as long as the olive tree is discharging the oil, the word of God in your life, the building must be built, Jerusalem must be rebuilt, the temple must be completed, not by power, not by might, but because you, Zechariah, give attention to the words, you, Zerubbabel, give attention to the words of Zechariah and the words of Haggai. It's now I understand why preachers are important. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. For Uzziah to prosper, this same Zechariah had to constantly pour words into his life. Very important. That's why Christian, look, listen. I told you, when you want to take steps in life, listen, this is how it comes out as for believers. It's after the word has entered, it now says, do as occasion serves you. I don't know what I get what I say. After you have drunk of the Spirit, then, like Saul, when someone has been talking with Saul, he said, go, you will see this will happen. He said, when you get there, do as occasion serves you. Just do as you like. Listen, the word births vision into you. Are you getting my point? I noticed something. Let me stop here because I don't, like I said, I don't want to stay for too long. He said, when there is no vision, the people are what? They perish, King James, but most modern translation will tell you they are unrestrained. What am I saying? You know, before I used to argue with people. Do this. Why are you going to Enugu? I want to play Visa Lottery. Why don't you do this one? And we'll argue and argue. And then I now look back and realize how stupid I must have appeared. You know Enugu is very fine now. When I came to Enugu, there were no taxis. Yeah, that's not a joke. I came from either straight from Lagos or from Benin, I don't know. I didn't come with my car that first time, my wife and I. And we stopped at the bus park. I'm going to Transekulu. I wait, you know, coming from Lagos, I was looking for taxi. I didn't know how to cut John here, there. I wait for taxi. So finally one taxi will stop and say, okay, that's one of these ones, rickety, old, bent, door held down with rope. Carrying people for 10 naira a drop. We tell him to give him 1,005 to leave everything he's doing to come to Transekulu. And I say, wait, is that place so far? And he answers me, nah, big man now. And I look at which kind of crazy human being am I talking to here? Yes. When I told people I was going to Enugu, I can still remember people looking at me like, we knew this guy didn't have a driving life. You know, I had arguments with people and I tried to explain to them that living abroad and living in Nigeria is the same thing. It's now I look back and realize how crazy I must have been. If this is Nigeria bad, you didn't know, you were too small when Nigeria was bad. If you think Nigeria is bad now, to marry wife. My friend and I were talking the other day. We'll go and queue at midnight to make phone, you know, with your card. And your wife sitting beside the phone so that it won't wake her father up. And people couldn't understand how crazy I was that. And honestly, Nigerians were killed at Lake Crescent looking for visa. I said, me, the day I reached there, God killed me. And my reason was, how can you degrade a man of God? When I say man of God, I don't mean preacher. I mean a man special with God
like this. People go and queue from 3 a.m. I said, to go to where? Heaven. I heard the testimony of Bishop Oyedepo. And I held on to that testimony. Such a powerful. We went to go to one country. I don't know which country. So he gave his men his visa to go and, his passport to go and collect the visa. That is, they now, of course, you know the way it is. Nobody answered them. They told them, no, the man has to come himself. And they said, him, he won't come. He will not come. He won't come. So they went by, said, where the visa? They said that, they said, you should come. He said, give me my passport. Put it in his drawer. When those who were inviting him called him, how far? He said, I'm not coming. Why not? Your people still didn't give me visa. Why not? They say I should come. And I'm not going to the embassy. He said, we're very sorry, sir. After some time, they told him to send the men back. The men went back with the passport, submitted it, waited, collected the visa, and brought it back. I said, this is the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I used to consider those testimonies. I'm bringing out something here. Now, I look back and realize I must have been crazy. Now, crazy now. I wasn't wrong. I was just crazy in the eyes of the people who were listening to me. Why was I not crazy in my own eyes? That's where I'm going to. Because don't think that I was born like that. No. I've told you my testimony. I spent the whole of my late 93 into 94 doing nothing but hearing the word of God. That word birthed something in me that says simply, you're a king, you are the son of a king. Are you getting me? You are to be treated with dignity and respect, and you don't go around chasing greener pastures. Do you get the point? And I said to myself, yes, I do. Now, this is the interesting part. It colored the way I saw things. Are you getting my point? If I didn't have a car, the way I interpreted it was that the Lord didn't want me to buy fuel yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't cross my mind that it's because my country is bad. I'm bringing out something here. It wasn't out of too much struggling. It was just the natural outworking of the oil that was being poured into this guy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when I started arguing with people, they couldn't see what I was seeing, and I could not see what they were seeing. Because what you perceive has to be interpreted. Yes, that's what's called perception, actually. What impulses enter your eyes, your ears, they must be interpreted. So, I come out in the morning, I see no car, I see have to trek, I see have to take a bus. And what do I perceive? What I perceive is life is in phases, and men are in sizes. And live your size per time. That the blessings of God come at a time they will not become a curse. Even though they are slow, but they are sure. And I'd rather be slow but sure than be fast and fail. That's what I was perceiving. And it wasn't that a struggle. It was just the natural thing. And I said to people, I did used to go to many places. Why? My perception is that the Lord wanted me to sit at home. And it's true. Because Bishop Oyedepo taught us then that why are you running up and down? Are you the devil? That is the devil that goes to and fro. They asked him, from where have you come? He said, from going to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. So I rejected the devilish ministry and I sat at home. Sitting at home, I heard plenty messages. Sitting at home, I read many books. And I'm not lying to you. There has not been a place I preached since then till now. People haven't come up and said, sir, I have never heard anything like this. Say, I wear suit now. Wear tie. Those days, did I have suit? No, I wear my monkey jacket. I wore it to go and preach in mile 2 in one redeemed church. At the end, owners of businesses were coming to give me their cars to shake my hand. We need to talk. In case you do not know, I think I was 26. Then. What are you saying? Was it 26 or 25? The pastor was not around. He came and said, he has heard. He showed me the tape that he's taking it home. Because he came before the end of the service. He said they've told him what happened. He showed me the tape that this is the tape of today's message. He put it in his pocket. That he's taking it home. What am I saying? I sat at home and hey, my father.
Listen, I'm a preacher. That's why I manifest like that. A businessman drinking with his pipes connected to the golden trees. You have stupid and crazy ideas on businesses people won't understand. It's later on when you have succeeded, you now understand why they thought you were foolish. That's why, hey, I don't want to start preaching about it. Paul talked about, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. Don't let people persuade you away from things you birthed after drinking the oil of God. You know, you don't hear one, you don't go seminar, you don't listen to tapes. At the end of the day, suddenly an idea comes. How we are going to build a multinational airline. Have 2 747s, 3 787s. 1 787, in case you don't know, is $550 million. When you think like that, your friends will wake you up. Do you get my point? Please, if that comes to you, having drunk the oil of God, please write it down. The vision is for an appointed time. And keep on drinking the oil. One day, I don't know how many months we pass, or how many years we pass, I don't know. But keep drinking that oil. One day, you'll just find out that you are coming down from the car. They say, this way, sir. And you are, that's Enugu International Airport you are walking into. And they say, that's the first one. And you look up. And that's a 787. And you see, this is the airline you and your friends registered. And the name is printed boldly on it. Then you will remember that 7 years ago, 18 months ago, I don't know how long it will be, that you wrote this thing down. The first person you told woke you out of your sleep. Wake up. But you wrote it down and you continue to drink the oil of God. That's when you now look back and say, what events actually transpired between then and now? I've told you, Christians, all this on earth, you want to do one thing, pray one prayer, sow one seed, you know, use one oil, you know, physical oil, and then suddenly breakthrough. It doesn't work. It does not. I'm warning you. Christians are habitual givers. Amen?
Amen?
That's what they are. They don't bribe God with it. They are what? Habitual givers. They are habitual prayers. You know what I'm saying? Yes. They are habitual doers of good works. That's what they are. They do it all the time. And most importantly, they are habitual in here drinking the oil of God. I have a conviction as I live here. It's not just about studying the scriptures. I'm talking about drinking the oil now. It's about, I think it's more powerful. It's about hearing. It's about hearing. And listen, you can read yourself, you can hear yourself. But I think I have a message for you today. You need, there are olive trees, Zachariah's and Haggai's, that God have made to make life easy for you. Yeah, they make life easy for you. So you can spend, you don't need to go and check the exegesis of who Zachariah. Leave that to me. Yes. You, go and design an engine. Draw a house. Plan a building. Are you getting what I'm saying? Plan a business. Yes. Then show up again. I tell you what the Lord is saying. I know what I'm saying. Listen. One day, you will come down and they say, this way, sir. Sign here. You will sign. And how much is it? They've just transferred the ownership of a $3.5 billion company. You guys just bought it up. Let me stop. The Lord is good.